What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from pitcherlist.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is March 16th, and yes, we're going to talk about baseball. I sincerely apologize for the late article and podcast with Tout Wars weekend and a lot of other stuff going on. It just had to get pushed back, but I'm glad I got it out today. I'm glad you have this as Yuri Perez, oh boy, he's dealing with elbow soreness, and now I'm going to visit a surgeon on top of the whole fingernail thing. Oh my gosh, what's up with the Marlins rotation? You got Braxton, and you have Edward Cabrera, and now you have Yuri all in laboring with their health. What this means is that you have Luzardo, then you have AJ Puck, then you have Ryan Weathers and Trevor Rogers. Who is that fifth? No, I don't think it's going to be Max Meyer. I think it's going to be Yanni Chirinos with some whatever bulk reliever stuff they want to do for the Marlins as they wait for Braxton Garrett and Edward Cabrera to come back and not rush up Max Meyer. But yeah, Yuri Perez, this seems pretty ominous and that's not fun at all. But what isn't ominous is Garrett Cole's situation, who's going to take it easy for about 3-4 weeks and ramp up to return to the field as he wanted to just double check to make sure everything was fine. So good to hear this. He's not even getting a PRP injection for his elbow. Great news. It does mean likely June 1st, right? If he takes it easy for 3-4 weeks and then he ramps up, so already a month. So that means we're in the middle of April. And then he's going to ramp up from there and needs about a month. So that's really mid-May, June 1st or so. So take that as you will, but Garrett Cole, much better situation there. Anthony DeSclafani is going to be in that opening day rotation. That's what they expect, which means Louis Varland isn't, and that's no fun. Yes, Domingo Germán was signed by the Pirates, and I hate it for so many reasons, and one of them, probably the second most important reason why I hate it, is that it means that Jerry Jones is even more unlikely to make the opening day rotation for the Pirates. I don't consider him on the same tier as Jackson Jobe and Paul Skeens, but he is in his second little tier of just him as the pitching prospect to focus on. And then you have another tier of guys. Yes, Ricky Tiedemann is out of those top two to me. So Jared Jones, if he's starting when he does, you want him, but it does kind of feel like the Pirates are not really setting him up for success as you have three locked in spots and you have Luis Ortiz, Bailey Falter, Quinn Priester, the aforementioned Herman. There's also Eric Lauer there now. There's just a lot of shenanigans that I don't feel like that Jones is going to get that opportunity. You have Jose Urquidy dealing with elbow pain, and now he's returning to Houston to undergo further tests, which essentially means, yes, he's not in the rotation. So JP France could be the SP4 out of the camp, which means Ronald Blanco would be the number 5, unless the Astros sign Blake Snell. And it was reported by Ken Rosenthal that they are heavily pursuing Snell right now. It does make a lot of sense, but who knows what's going to happen there. If it is Blanco, I actually wouldn't even be that interested because of the opening matchup for Houston. It's not very fun. The opening schedule is 4 against the Yankees, and then that's already be the Jays for Blanco, and then the next series is the Rangers, which means he would go Jays-Rangers, and you don't want to do that for Blanco anyway. Then you have Cody Bradford locked in as the number 5 for the Rangers. We assume this, but it's just we got confirmation. Okay, there it is. Nick Lodolo is feeling better, but he'll be pushed back until April 10th to make his first start of the season. Nick Martinez doesn't seem that his rib injury is too serious. He's facing hitters today, so he'll probably cover it. And then by April 10th, if there isn't clarity, I would imagine Nick Martinez is the one who's out of the rotation. All right, looking at yesterday's games, we have Keider Montero. Don't really care about that one. And Ricky Tiedemann was on the other side of that. You have him going 2.1 innings, 200 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, 1 K. Yeah, Ricky Tiedemann, I just don't think his control and command is that good. He's more east-west, or if it's a lefty, I guess it's west-east, with a fastball and a slider, and I'm just not that impressed. I don't think that this is someone you are going to add to your team, and then all of a sudden, he's just great from there on. It can be good. It's just not one of those, oh man, I can't believe I didn't get Ricky Tiedemann kind of situations. Ryan Weathers, 4.1 innings of 4 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks. He's not a bad late flyer. I am recognizing that Ryan Weathers isn't just overtly dominating with everything. His sweeper only had just one whiff in this one. The fastball is still better than it was last year. It's a 95, actually really more like 96, but it was really like 97 before. And I'm not as confident in Ryan Weathers. He might have been more adrenaline the first one, so I was getting stretched out a little bit more, but still worth it because it is a good first two matchups for Ryan Weathers. Same with Trevor Rogers, though, who went today, and I'll talk more about it tomorrow, but yeah, Ryan Weathers, really good changeup today, and that was the thing I was looking for. Velocity finally got numbers 91, 92. Not good. You want 93, 94. But because he got 7 over 21 changeups, I might be more into Trevor Rogers at this moment. Because it just also does feel that the Marlins would be more confident in Rogers than Weathers once Cabrera and Braxton Garrett return. Then Weathers would be the one out. So we didn't really have any data on Trevor Rogers before. And now we have something, and it is suggesting more sustainability for Trevor Rogers right now. I think one more start will really tell us one way or the other. Yonny Chirinos, as I mentioned, is going to be likely the one backing up at the end of the rotation, not Max Meyer. 2 innings of 0 runs, good for him. Steven Matz went 3 innings of 3 runs, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 4 strikeouts after hitting over 97. Last time, he failed to hit over 96. It was 95 in change. He got 7 over 21 whiffs on his changeup. Speak of the devil. That might be interesting, but no, I'm not in on this for Steven Matz. Trevor Williams pitched, and that's all I care about there. Adrian Hauser, 5 innings of 4 runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 6 Ks. He chucks heaters, and he hopes for the best. It's been more strikeouts than I expected for Adrian Hauser this offseason, the spring training. I'm still not in on this. Quinn Priester, 4.2 innings of 1 run, 3 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. 8 over 23 slider whiffs with really good locations on them. 40% usage. It's clearly his thing. It breaks the Wasker and Noah rule. I don't see anything else here with Quinn Priester. It does look like they're trying to make him a starter with Luis Ortiz, as he went 4.2 innings, and then Luis Ortiz went 4 innings of 1 run, 4 hits, 2 walks, and 4 Ks. And just another kind of suggestion that Jared Jones isn't getting that rotation spot. Speaking of Luis Ortiz doing well, what's cool is that he went 65% strikes on his changeup and he had good location on the sinker, just arm side, and then had strikes on the slider. And it's, hey, that's what would work. So if he can do that constantly, then I'm in, but I don't think he can. And also very few four-seamers. I mean, that whole mix is exactly the best version of Ortiz, but I just don't expect it to see it all the time. And then lastly, there's Clark Schmidt, 3.1 innings of 1 run, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 5 Ks. He's trying really hard to get his cutter inside of lefties. He still can't quite do it. And he also gets the Astros and Jays to start the year, and I'm just not interested in that. So Clark Schmidt, no thank you. We're going to talk about everything else, including the Atlanta and Detroit game. That was the other StatCast game. And of course, everything that was not on StatCast and everything that wasn't on TV. And we're going to talk about all of that after this break. AJ Smith-Shawver, 3 innings, 5 earned runs, 8 hits, 0 walks, 3 Ks. He won't be in the rotation to start the year. The velocity is still there. The fastball approach is not where he's just not getting that thing upstairs. And there's a lot of little tweaks to be made, but because the fastball is better, that's a very good thing. He has good shape and all. He just needs to locate it upstairs and then also get more out of his secondaries. And hopefully that can happen because he should get the call up at some point this year. And it's really good pitching for Atlanta. You have Matt Manning on the other side, 4 innings, 0 earned runs, 1 hit, 1 walk, 4 Ks. I'm in because I think Matt Manning has really good command, has a slider that is doing double duty of strikes and whiffs, 5 over 22 here. And you have that four seamer. I know it's not 95. It's at 94 consistently, second straight start of that. It's looking a little bit better than it did before. That is in last year. And Matt Manning gets a good schedule to start the year, and that's kind of cool. So I'm a little bit more intrigued by Matt Manning than I am Reese Olson at the moment. It's close, but Manning has the better schedule, so I think I'm going to go for that. Other games, we have the Orioles against the Rays. Nothing really to report here. Dean Kramer, 4.1 innings of 1 run, and he has a good rotation spot. Sorry, a good schedule with the rotation spot for the Orioles. Maybe that's worth it for a stream that first week or so. Keep that in mind. Albert Suarez was on the other end, and sadly, this whole thing is coming to a close. 2.1 innings of 5 runs. I don't have data on it, but yeah, 7 base runners, 3 Ks. So fun ride. We're going to move on. The Rays are without a fifth starter, and I think it's going to be a three-headed dragon of Naoyuki Uesawa, Jacob Wagaspak, and Tyler Alexander. So we saw Wagaspak and Uesawa here. They combined for 7.2 innings and just 2 runs. None of those guys would I be focusing on whatsoever. If you want to try and play the Vulture Wins game, good luck. But I just think the Rays are going to ray here for that open spot until Boz is ready or Bradley is ready. Jordan Hicks, 5 innings, 3 runs, 4 hits, 1 walk, and 2 Ks. And I can't decide if I would want Hicks in this to stream him if he has a good matchup. The thing is, he's not going to get Rocky Road because I don't know if Jameson Taillon is going to be ready. And instead, he's going to get a start against the Rangers. And I don't want to do that with Jordan Hicks, so we move on. Chris Flexen has a rotation spot, and I don't care for innings of 200 runs. Does not matter to me. Garrett Whitlock had a much better line, 4.1 innings, 0 earned runs, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 5 Ks. It seemed like he was throwing more sweepers and changeups. It's not quite confirmed. I don't have data and a terrible camera angle, but this is much better. And he gets the Mariners and Angels to start the year, assuming he's ESP4. And that's cool. So sign me up for that in my drafts. Christopher Sanchez, 2.1 innings of 4 earned runs, 8 hits, 2 walks, and 2 strikeouts. I'm not really worried about this. Velocity is still up. That's what's important here, and I'm still drafting Sanchez. And the aforementioned Ronel Blanco, 4 innings of 0 earned runs, 0 hits, 2 walks, 5 Ks. But again, he's going to get the Jays and then the Rangers, the first two options, and then he might just be out of the rotation after that, so we don't want him. And lastly, we have this one game and then the prospects spring breakouts. Tyler Beede started for the Guardians, and it was 5 innings of 0 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. And with Gavin Williams out, I'm assuming that's going to be Carlos Carrasco as a fifth rotation option, but that still means that Tyler Beede can be the long reliever that they keep on the squad. And I kind of imagined that the Guardians would be all set and they wouldn't have a need for Beede, but now they're probably just going to hold on to him, which is kind of cool for him. I'm a little shocked by it, but here he is. He's not really fantasy relevant, but it's just kind of cool. Brady Singer, 4 innings, 0 earned runs, 3 hits, 3 walks, and 4 Ks. I'm glad he was better, but I'm not encouraged at all about him. And then you have the prospect spring breakout games. The notable thing is here, you have Thomas White and Noble Meyer each going an inning for the Marlins. At some point, you might see them this year. I actually really think they're more next year guys. Tink Hentz and Tekoa Roby went for the Cardinals, 2 innings for Hentz, 1 for Roby. Hentz looks like the truth, and when he does come up, he's not on the level of Job or Skeens, and it's going to be a lot longer, I think, than Jared Jones, so he's kind of in that third tier for me. But Tink Hentz is someone that is an auto pickup when he does arrive. Tekoa Roby went an inning. I'm happy that he got a strikeout, 2 hits, 0 walks. Not as impressive to me as other guys, but see how he fares early in the year. And then there's Dom Hamill, 2 innings of 1 run, 2 hits, 1 walk, and 2 Ks. He did get 2 strikeouts, 1 on 96 and 1 on 97. Fastballs, one that was taken for a called strike in the 97 upstairs. And he has that appeal like Christian Scott, but honestly, Christian Scott, from everything I've heard and whatnot, is more appealing than Hamill. So keep that in mind. But if we do see Dom Hamill or Dominic Hamill, depends on what set you use this season, yeah, you should pay attention and maybe take a flyer at that point, especially if he has had a good minor league season thus far. All right, that is it for today. You'll have this early tomorrow morning because I have Tat Wars at 10 a.m. So I have to get this up and out beforehand. So that means I have to be publishing this at like 8:30 to get there in time, which is absolutely bonkers. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.